Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. And he put the servants with their children in front, and then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck, kissed him, and they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the servants drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise, and her children drew near and bowed down. And last, Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I've met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." Thus he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the nursing flocks and herds are a care to me. If they are driven hard for one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly, at the pace of the livestock that are ahead of me, and at the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord in Seir." So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are in with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The children are invited to children's worship at this time.
Things that runs through the Bible, it's finding the lost and God's blessing. God the Creator made a good and perfect creation, and he made humans as his image bearers to manage his good creation abundantly. But rather than taking the responsibility, humans rebelled against God and brought sin into the world. Because of the sin, God lost both his good creation and his good image bearers. The consequences of this loss had a devastating result. God expels humans out of the Garden of Eden, which was heaven where God was presented. And heaven and earth have been separated by sin ever since then. But God has to fix the problem. Otherwise, he is not the perfect God anymore, right? God must unite heaven and earth God must get rid of the sin out of the good creation. God must continue to bless His good creation for His sake. Now God has embarked on a large-scale project to restore the broken world and the fallen humans. So in order to restore the creation and the broken relationship, God has to call people to show His faithfulness for the restoration. And last time, I preached about Abraham. I emphasized that how God established a covenant relationship with Abraham based on God's faithfulness, right? God came to the fallen human Abraham first, and He initiated faith in him and patiently showed God's faithfulness. Even though Abraham was not faithful many times, but in the end, he gave his son Isaac to God. And the book of Hebrews testifies that all this procedure is the faith. And today, we're going to think about Abraham's grandson. His name is Jacob, and his blessing. Jacob is the one who initiated a faith of blessing. It's inherited a faith of blessing, I mean. He is a person chosen to become a channel of God's blessing. But when it comes to blessing, it is not easy to understand, right? We are often confused about blessings because there is a difference between the expectation about the blessing we have and the blessing that God has actually given to us. Are different. But Jacob is the perfect example of the true blessing. The true blessing is the assurance that God brings the lost back to His promised land, even if they get lost. Jacob longs for a blessing, but it takes his entire life to realize the true blessing. The week before I resigned from Ivy Park Christian Reformed Church in Michigan, around this time last year, my best friend Pastor Chris and I watched his one of the favorite movies, and the title was "It's a Wonderful Life." Hearing your smiling sound, you are familiar with this movie. The film tells the story of George Bailey, a promising young man with a good heart who really wants to leave his hometown to find success and blessing in the world, because his dream is too big for his little hometown. But circumstances keep getting in the way. The army rejects him because he has a hearing problem. He lost one side of his hearing while saving his younger brother in the river during the winter when he was young. His father's death forces him to take over the management of the family's building and loan association. A run on the bank soaks up his savings, and he couldn't leave his hometown even for his honeymoon. Try as he might, he cannot escape, but he makes the best of it. He settles down, marries his high school sweetheart, and raises a family. And he serves the community by loaning money to poor people so they can buy a house. He shows his generosity to everyone. However, deep inside his heart, there is always a shadow of deep disappointment, as if he has given up on his big dream of success. Then one day, a big crisis strikes in the family business. George's uncle lost a great deal of money because of the misplacing of an envelope. If he cannot find the money, George would spend the rest of his life in the prison. Now, the terrible situation pushes George over the edge. He feels crushed by how his life has turned out. And he cries out. He cries out in despair that his life has failed. Good man George Bailey cries out. Israel cries out to. His name is Jacob. Jacob cries out for a blessing. He was born for blessing, holding his brother's ankle for the blessing. He even deceived his brother for the blessing. He thought the birthright would bring the blessing. So he stole it, and he had to run away from his brother to Haran. And on the way to his uncle's house, he met God in a dream while sleeping in the wilderness. In his dream, he saw a stairway that reached from heaven to earth. And the angels of God were standing, ascending and descending on it. It's a weird dream. But it shows a special meaning. You gotta pay attention to that. Beautiful picture, right? The picture is Oahu, Hawaii. This is a good picture of the stairway, so take it. Generally speaking, the stairway is not only used to go up, but also to come down. Jacob saw a stairway that reached from heaven to earth, and the angels were ascending and descending on it. What does that mean? It means that it is not only about Jacob coming to God for blessing, but it's the point where God came down to Jacob with a true blessing. That's the clearest picture of salvation. Why, when we live without even knowing God, He comes to the place where we are. That's the salvation. That's the blessing. When Jacob awoke, he saw and he thought the Lord was where he was, but he wasn't aware of it. So he called the place Bethel, meaning the house of God. What is the house of God? Well, it could be the Garden of Eden, or the tabernacle, or the temple. But clearly, it shows the heaven and earth became overlapping. It clearly shows the place where heaven and earth meet. We believe by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, heaven and earth became overlapping, I told you, and we have heard it. So Jacob's vision was the vision of the unification of heaven and earth, which is the kingdom of God that would be fulfilled in Christ. But of course, dummy Jacob never understood that. So the stairway Jacob saw is the symbol of the true blessing. Because heaven and earth were separated because of the sin, right? But God had a grand vision and plan to unite heaven and earth in Christ. God told Jacob, "Jacob, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." This is a huge blessing. God makes a huge promise of blessing to Jacob. Just looking at this promise, it seems like his life will be fine and go smooth. But if you look carefully inside of his life, it's quite the opposite. When Jacob deceived his brother and fled to Haran, he had four wives there. Oh, four wives, a blessing? No. Having many wives could mean blessing in an Arabian context, but that's not the case in the Bible. And I don't know why you are laughing. Yeah, that's not blessing at all. That's the point. Actually, his life, his marriage life, was not wonderful. He was troubled in his mind with so many difficult issues. His wives claimed their rights, taking turns without rest. He His sons brought trouble to him from time to time. For example, Reuben, the first son, had an affair with his stepmother. That means he slept with his father's wife. We can hear much crying from his house. It's no more a sweet home, terrible home, a full of jealousy and hatred and frustration. And the climax of troubles comes when the rest of brothers sell Joseph to Egypt. You know, Jacob had a 12th son, and Joseph was the 11th son, right? And he was the one that Jacob loved the most. But the brothers hate him, and they sell him and pretend he's dead. You know what? The way the brothers faked Jacob's death, Joseph's death, reminds us of Jacob's shameful past. When Jacob deceived Esau and stole his birthright, do you know what animal's hair Jacob used to dress up as the hairy Esau? You might think it's a sheep, but it's a goat. He used goat fur to dress up as his brother. Shockingly, when Jacob's sons disguised Joseph as dead, they used the blood of a goat. And they lied to Jacob that Joseph was killed by an animal. This is a kind of punishment, which is exactly the opposite of grace. Where is God's blessing? Where is God's grace? Jacob had to flee and take refuge for his entire life. He was cheated by his own uncle, and he cheated him back. And now he is terrified of his brother's revenge. Feeling terrified of his brother's revenge, Jacob divided his people and animals into two camps, sending everything and everyone out. Finally, Jacob cried out to God. Where is God's promise? What is a blessing? Why did God make things complicated for Jacob? Why didn't God give him a peaceful life with a birthright? Why did God bother to appear with a stairway at night? Why he's wrestling with him? Anyway, let's go back to George Bailey for a moment. George cries out in despair that his life has failed. But he's not like Jacob. He's a good man. He just dreams of success and blessing. What's wrong with that? And he works hard, giving up everything. He was generous. But now he's frustrated that his life has failed. He did his best still. He didn't feel the word successful. Successful. That's right intonation. Because he didn't realize how meaningful his life was. Now he is about to end up his life on the bridge. But an angel, Clarence, jumps into the river, so George misses a chance to give up his life while saving the angel. And the angel, Clarence, gives George a precious gift. George saw what would have happened in his hometown if he had never lived there. Many of his friends would not recognize him at all. But the pharmacist he saved would have been imprisoned for murder and would have been living as a beggar. The whole town would have been turned into a bar. His younger brother would have been drowned in a river long ago. His father's bank would have been disappeared. His beloved wife would have lived a single and dark life, no kids. After seeing what would have happened, George was shocked to experience a world he would not have existed in. He finally realized that his life was meaningful, and wonderful, and blissful. Now, he runs home and and hugs his beloved wife and his children. Happy story. But that's a movie story. Jacob cries out. He's a real person. He cries out. He cries out. Why? Because instead of receiving blessing, he is immersed in a swamp of despair, skeptical about the blessing. He is in a miserable situation. He had even no idea what blessing he had received. Because the blessing he thought about and the reality he has now are totally different. That's our situation. As a children of God, we have eternal hope, eternal blessing. God is our Father. Almighty God is our Father. We have privilege, but the reality we face every day, every moment, frustrates us. And we are difficult. We don't know our identity. What's our blessing? What's your blessing? But indeed, Jacob is blessed. Why? Because God has chosen him. God has blessed him. God has chosen him because he has a plan. He has a purpose. Redemption of his creation. So wherever he goes, wherever, whatever he does, God is with him and eventually brings him back to where God has purposed. But Jacob was too small and too selfish a sinner to understand that kind of God's plan at all. Even though God had a great vision, he had a great vision that he called Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to save the whole world from sin. God called them to bless God's blessings in the cursed world. But Jacob never imagined that he would have been in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He never knew that he would be a little Israel who was God's chosen one through whom God prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. He didn't know God called him to be a blessing gateway. That's why he's struggling. And by the ford of Jabbok, Jacob cries out in despair and he thinks of his brother coming to kill him. And it's a hopeless situation. Jacob was coming. Esau was coming with the 400 men. Now Jacob went on to Esau and bowed down to the ground 7 times and seeking and begging for his life. He's trying to call him master. Call me servant. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. Just like a father running out barefoot to his prodigal son. Esau ran to his brother and threw his arms and kissed him. Just like the prodigal's father, filled with love and compassion and running to his son, embraced him and kissed him. Esau and Jacob wept. The father and the prodigal wept too. Selfish plunder and sinner Jacob slowly opens his spiritual eyes. Finally, Jacob sees the true blessing. Jacob sees God's face in the face of his brother. Jacob sees the forgiving face of God. God has revealed his face of compassion and mercy and slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness to Jacob. Now Jacob, remember God's blessing. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be with you and I will bring you back to the promised land to my purpose. So the core of blessing is knowing God who always finds the lost. God lavishes his unfailing love to 1,000 generations. He forgives all iniquity, rebellion, sin. He runs his face towards you. You. That's the salvation. That's the blessing we have. The specific sin of salvation is a father who brings back home a child who has run away from home. But don't get me wrong. It's not only about non-believers. It's about everyone. Every human beings have become lost because of their sin. We are lost whenever we sin, but we are blessed because we are found in Christ. Jacob misunderstood the blessing. For him, God was like an assistant who would give him for whatever he wants. We agree that we receive salvation through Jesus Christ, but for our entire lives, we try to control God for our own lives. We cry out for what we want, just like Jacob did throughout his entire life. But that's not the blessing. God doesn't allow us to do that. He is not going to be just our assistant. He is the author of creation. He is faithful to his creation. And he calls us for redemption of his creation. He calls us for his kingdom. But we don't understand it. We are not interested in that. But we go crazy and keep saying, this is weird. I did my best for God. But why God does not bless me? Why God does not provide what I want to live? Because if we live the way we want, we will be ruined. We'll be ruined. We will mess up. That's why God intervenes in our lives and lets us to think and find the right direction to walk with him. Because we are stubborn. Although Jacob lived as he pleased without knowing there was the wrong direction, but God fulfilled his will even through such a conflicted life. And God told him, Jacob, I am the Lord of your life. Even your life is not yours. The name Jacob means a swindler, plunderer, or robber. But God has changed his name into a new name of blessing. And God says, you are not Jacob anymore. But from now on, your name is Israel. You are my servant, whom I have chosen. I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners I called you. You are my servant, and I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not disobey, dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is a question. What kind of a blessing do you have? What kind of blessing do we have? A good business? Health? A nice, sweet home? A good reputation? But more than anything else, it is our blessing to be a believer, to be a child of God. Because no matter how wrong we are, no matter how many mistakes we make, no matter how stubborn we are, God is with us. And eventually, he will bring us back to his purpose, his home. Then you want to say, okay, if God is faithful anyway, then why not sin so that grace may abound? God is going to turn me on the right path anyway. But you know what? If you live like that, all you will be left is a black bruise. As Isaiah says, why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured.
your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or coated with olive oil.
Sounds like sterile, huh?
But he is not always accusing or harboring his people forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity. Why? Because his love is so great as the heavens are above the earth. And he removes our transgressions from us through the cross. But we have to know what God wants. God wants us to agree with him genuinely. Because God gives us the freedom. He treats us as a person. He doesn't treat us as a machine. That's why he allows us for a long process to surrender to him. Because we are stubborn, like Jacob. We just want what we want. But he comes along with us in all our complaints, resistance, wandering, anger, and willful rejection. He accompanies us on all our journeys of life and waits patiently. And he even embraces our death. That's the cross. You know what? When Jacob stood in front of Pharaoh, he blessed Pharaoh, the king of the most strongest and biggest and the powerful country in the world at that time. Pharaoh was like God himself, but Jacob blessed him. So Pharaoh had no idea, and he asked, "How old are you?" It sounds like, "Are you insane? Do you know who I am? I am God, O Pharaoh, I am God." But Jacob says, "The years of my privilege are 130. My years have been few and difficult." So Jacob says, like, "Pharaoh, I know who you are, but shut up, because my God is bigger than you. I'm not afraid. So shut up and receive my blessing in the name of my God, Creator. He has planned to restore his creation. Do you know that?" Jacob became enough, brave enough to bless the king of the world. That's the place we stand. The world looks scary, but God has called us to bless the world. God has called us to bless those who don't understand and ignore and hate us. God called us to pray for them. Why? God wants us to be a blessing vessel. Because God has shown us the redemption and perfect vision of the redemption of his creation. So don't be silly, but realize your identity as a child of God. Please remember that all blessings comes through us in the name of God. We have the privilege. We have the honor. I bless you and pray for you to remember your identity as a child of God. Let's pray. God of the source of blessing, thank you for the message. We learned that it took Jacob's entire life to realize the blessings he has received. Through his difficult and tough life, he finally met your forgiving face and realized the blessing and meaning you are with him. Lord, thank you for allowing us to believe in you, Lord. You sent your Holy Son and to save and sinful and mankind like us. And thank you for forgiving us, Lord. Please help us realize how great the privilege we have as your children, so that we can come to your senses, our senses, and participate in the ministry of your kingdom, your restoration of kingdom. Thank you for calling us to be the blessing vessel. Help us remember we stand here because of your guidance.